I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, where I learn how to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Faith is a wonderful thing. It changes the impossible to the possible. Hallelujah. It changes failures into victories. And so you are at the right place today to make some amazing strides out of darkness into light and into victory. We've saved you a place here close to the front so I can look you in the eye and make sure you're getting it. It might shake you a little bit if you need it. Get your Bible. Get something to take a note with. Come on into the classroom with us and let's receive today. Father, how thankful we are that you've chosen us, you've given us life, and we seek your words and your will that you might quicken us by them and by your Spirit and cause us to come into the place that you've planned for us and called us to, and that we might honor you and glorify you and your will be done in us and through us and by us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look, please, in the 23rd Psalm, Book of Psalms, Psalm 23, we've been continuing now in our study that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith works the same in every area, but it must be fed in each area. You know, feeding your faith for healing is wonderful and great, and you do that a lot. Within your faith will be stronger for healing, but it wouldn't necessarily be stronger in paying your bills. You see what I mean by that? And so you need faith in every area of life. And you'll find that all of us are stronger or weaker in different areas, depending on what we've heard, what we've fed on a lot, or what we haven't heard at all. And so ever so often, you need to feed your faith on that area. And especially if you've noticed that you're weak or struggling to be confident or overcome in an area, well, that's the first thing you ought to do. Start feeding your faith in that area, right?
Right.
What does in that area mean? The scriptures that talk about that,
yes.
That feeds your faith for that. And so when we talk about faith for provision, we're talking about provision for this life, material provision, financial provision, and everything that goes along with it. Is it God's will for us to have abundant provision?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
All of us?
Yes.
Well, we're convinced that's what the scripture says. That's what the Lord has said. But that's not a common belief. There's a whole lot of people believe that poverty and lack, being born into it, was somehow God's choice for you, God's will, because there's a lot of people believe that nothing happens unless it is the will of God, and that everything that happens is somehow God's will. This is not true. This is a wrong doctrine. This is not what the scripture teaches. Now, other religions believe this, but Christians believing the Bible should not believe that.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. Christians believing the Bible should know there's all kind of things happening in this world that's not God's will, that don't please Him, because we have a free will. So we're beginning to give reason after reason from the scriptures why we are sure, why we know it's God's will.
Amen.
It is God's will.
Yes.
It's God's plan,
yes,
for all of us to have abundant provision all the time.
Amen.
Everything we need,
yeah,
all the time,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yes.
All right. Why do we believe it? Well, what reason number one here is because the Lord is my shepherd. Read it again, verse 1. What does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. And as a result of that, what?
I shall not want.
Other translations say, the Lord's my, Jehovah's my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord takes care of me, BBE says. I will not be without any good thing. God's word says, the Lord's my shepherd, I am never in need. Easy to Read says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Go ahead and say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He is.
He is.
My shepherd.
My shepherd.
He takes care of me.
He takes care of me.
I'm never in need.
I'm never in need.
I'm never in lack.
I'm never in lack.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I do not want.
I do not want.
For any good thing.
For any good thing.
I will always,
have everything I need.
Now, did I make this up?
No.
Or is this scripture?
It's scripture.
Psalm 23, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he goes on talking about you prepare a table before me. This is provision. Talking about surely goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life. This is provision. This is our good God, our good shepherd, taking good care of us.
Yes.
Now, it matters whether you believe this or not, because the enemy will continually try to convince you of lies. The enemy will continually try to convince you that lack and want is somehow God's plan or God's will or God's using it to teach you or this or that. And if you buy into it, you'll be robbed. You'll experience lack and lack and lack, and there won't be a remedy from it because you're not resisting it and you're not going after provision. But when you find out what's good and you hold fast to that, isn't that what the scripture said? Prove all things. And then what? Hold fast to what? The good. Not the bad, the good. So that was our first reason, was that the Lord's our shepherd. The second reason is that God is good. And you couldn't know too much about this.
No.
Huh? If you think you know something about it, thank God, but there's a whole lot you don't yet know about it. Everybody say out loud, God is good. What does that mean? Well, you have to discern what good is. It's easy to say it, but then you'll find people are so confused about what's good and what's bad. We mentioned that Solomon, when he was first beginning to rule over the people of Israel as king, and he sought God, and the Lord appeared to him in response to his prayers and offerings and said, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom and understanding to discern between good and bad, good and evil. Do you need discernment?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Do not think that just because you're alive and in the world, you automatically know what's good and what's bad. Now, some of it should be pretty obvious, but the enemy is working so hard to confuse the issue. And over generations, he has weaved actually doctrines of demons using half scriptures here and there to cause people to believe that bad is good and good is bad. Isaiah warned us in chapter 5. He said, woe to him that calls evil good and good evil. Are we supposed to be very clear about which is which? We are. And you'll hear even today, people act like there is no absolute truth. And there is no absolute wrong and right. It's just whatever it is to you, whatever you say it is, I say it is to me. And people talk about your truth and my truth and what's right for you. Well, no, that's being completely oblivious to the scripture. The Bible reveals there's truth, not your truth, not my truth, the truth. And there are lies. Huh? The truth is good. The lies are bad. Right? And then we're going to get into this perhaps later on, but he talks about things that are good and that are blessing, and things that are evil and that are curse. And you'll hear people say, well, you know, it was a really, really bad thing, but it really was a blessing in disguise. Hold on now. You're saying a curse was really a blessing. You're calling evil good. No, don't misunderstand me. Now, in the midst of a bad thing, you can look to God, and he can cause something that was bad. At the end of it, you wind up with something good. But that doesn't mean the bad was ever good. Huh? We need to be very, very clear on this, and it doesn't mean the bad came from God. No. It just meant God heard your cry and helped you out, right? And you didn't wind up staying in the bad. Before it was over with, he got you into good. Hallelujah. That wasn't the enemy's plan. He meant it for evil and only evil, but never confuse good and bad, and never call evil good, and never claim that evil comes from God. And you know, in James, he talked about this. He said, don't let anybody say that I'm tempted of God. Why? Because God cannot be tempted with evil. Did you hear that word? With bad. Neither does he tempt any man, the implication is, with evil. God has no evil. There's no evil in him. He can't be tempted with evil. So he's not going to see that same word tempt can be translated test. According to that scripture in James, God is not testing people with evil. He has no evil. Evil can't tempt or test him. And neither does he tempt or test any man or woman with evil. Now that just blows a lot of doctrines right out of the water. I don't know if you understand that or not, but I'm telling you, there are people all over the place that think they are so wise that mix together good and evil, and that good is sometimes evil and evil is sometimes good, and God uses evil. And no. It's in the world, but it didn't come from him. And yeah, he allows things, but never does a bad thing please him. Never does an evil thing please him, and never did it come from him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God didn't make anything bad. We know in the scriptures that when God created everything, he looked at everything he had made, and what did he say? Behold, it is very good. And you'll hear people even saying a lot of things today that they've done things that's not right, and they have inclinations and proclivities that's not right. And they'll say, well, God made me this way. God made you a liar? God made you a thief? Well, that's just my nature. It's my character. I don't know why God makes some of us the way he did, but he made me this way. Then you shouldn't try to be anything but evil if God made you evil. Right? You should excel in evil. And when you hear that, you go, that don't sound right. But well, you can't have it both ways. Listen to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Ecclesiastes 7:29, he said, this is the NET, New English. He said, this alone have I discovered. God made humankind upright, but they have sought many evil schemes. How did God make human beings? Upright or right. Up, not down. Right, not wrong. Good, not bad. Because see, when we talked about that scripture, when God made everything that he'd made, and he said, behold, everything he made was good and very good. Well, he made man. He made Adam and Eve. What was in them wrong? What was in them of evil? There, before the fall, before sin, there was no evil. There was no bad at all. Anywhere in the garden, anywhere in man, anywhere in Adam, there was not one flaw. Whew! Not one bad thing. Why? Because God's the one that made it all. And if there was anything bad in it, it would have had to come from Him. Hmm? There's nothing in Him but good. So it couldn't have been anything but good. But because He gave man a free will, just like this passage here says, man has sought out different things and inventions. Listen to the New Century Version. This is Ecclesiastes 7:29. NCV says, "One thing I have learned. God made people good, but they have found all kinds of ways to be bad." That's the New Century, NCV. Who figured out how to be bad? See, even with the devil himself, God didn't create the devil the devil. He made Lucifer the anointed cherub that covers a being of light. And we don't know how long he was a being of light around the things of God. And we don't know how many eons is possible. But at some point, do you know you can take anything for granted?
Yes.
You know? You can be so blessed and enjoy so many good things, and you can become jaded by anything if you get to thinking wrong. And at some point, he decided that's not enough. He wants more. He wants to be like God himself. He wants to get out of his place. And the Bible said that in Ezekiel 28 and 12, excuse me, verse 14, I'll just start. Ezekiel 28, 14, talking about the one that became the devil, said, "You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You've walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." It's not talking about anything evil there. Verse 15, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity," that same word's translated evil, "until evil was found in you." Did God make the devil evil?
No.
No. Now see, that statement right there alone contradicts a lot of theology. Because people are saying, well, yeah, but God made everything, and so he made the devil, and because he has to have evil to use. But no, God did not make the devil the devil. He created an anointed cherub, a brilliant being. And the enemy himself used the wisdom he had and twisted what God had given him, and iniquity was found and discovered. Evil was discovered in him. God didn't make him like that. Class, are y'all with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Evil does not come from God.
Amen.
Evil is what created beings have twisted and changed what God gave them into something that he never wanted for them, something he never intended. And so when people are saying, you know, God made me the way I am, well, and you'll even hear people say, well, God loves me just the way I am. No, he don't. No, he doesn't. He loves you where you are, right? But he doesn't love all your goofy ways. He doesn't love all your ungodly, selfish, fleshy ways. Huh? Now, the moment you get born again, you're supposed to start changing. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that's a giant change. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things inside have become new. But then immediately, you're supposed to start renewing your mind.
Amen.
Right? So that you start thinking more like Him. And what that's going to result in is change. Change, change, change. Get rid of all the bad. Right? And develop in all the good. Conformed to His image. His likeness, which is nothing but good.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say good, good, good.
Good.
So even the devil himself, God didn't create a devil. He created a beautiful being, the anointed cherub that covers. And until iniquity, or that word is evil, till evil was found in him. And so the scripture tells us to love the good and hate the evil. Now, that's not hating people, but evil is what harms people. And when we're talking about faith for provision, you got to get clear. If you're going to have faith for provision, you cannot entertain the idea for a moment that lack may somehow be good for you. If you are, it will completely gut your faith. It'll undermine your faith. You cannot have confidence. If you believe in some bad thing, might actually be good. You got to get it settled. I said you got to get it settled. Lack is bad.
Yes.
Poverty is bad.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Being in want, being in need, not having enough, coming short, bad.
Bad,
bad every day of the week.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Bad for everybody everywhere. How about abundance?
Good.
Plenty.
Good.
Huh? Oh yeah. Right? Good for who?
Me.
Everybody. Huh? Good where? Everywhere. Good when?
All the time.
Abundance is always good.
Always.
Good for you?
Yeah.
Good for me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Good in North America?
Yes.
Good in Africa?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Australia?
Yes.
Every time zone?
Yes.
Abundance.
Yes.
It's always good.
Always.
Why? Where does it come from? It comes from good. God is the God of more than enough.
Amen.
He's the God of abundance. He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. He's the Almighty who created. And you know, when he made all the heavens and the earth, and he made everything on the earth, what's the first thing he did? He looked at it and he said, be fruitful. Multiply. Why? He's a big God. He wants more. Right? Not two or three, not running out, not running behind, teeming, overflowing, filled. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's who He is. That's what He is. Well, He wants that for us every day of our life, more than enough. Why do I say it like that? Because if you look up the word in John 10:10, that's what it means. That they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why the Amplified says, to the full and till it overflows. Because the word doesn't just mean more than enough. It means more than enough. Why? Because if you just got more than enough for you, you're not equipped to help others. Come on, can you see that? And it's more blessed to give even than it is to receive. But you can't give what you don't have. I mean, it's such a contradiction when people say, well, you shouldn't have all these things. You should give to people in need. You got to have something, right? To give to people in need. You shouldn't have anything. It's bad to have anything, but you're supposed to help people out. With what? See, these are distortions, and it all comes back to this. Evil is good. Bad is good. And good is sometimes bad. And the enemy wants God, all of God's people to just be hopelessly confused and just get up in the morning and go and just give up and go, well, whatever God wants, because it could look good, but it might be bad. We don't know. It could be, I think I need this, but maybe I don't. Maybe I need something bad, but it could be good. It could be a blessing in disguise. Well, you are hopelessly confused, dear child. No, no. That's doctrines of the enemy. Thank God the truth makes you free, and the truth is good is good. Bad is bad.
Yes.
You know, when Moses was fellowshipping with God, you know, he stayed up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Almighty. He was so close to the glory and such proximity to it that when he came down, his face was beaming like a light. His very skin had soaked up glory to the point it was radiant. And it bothered them to look at him while he was talking. And they asked him, could he please cover his face? That's how glorious it was. And the Bible said that glory is not to be compared with the glory of the New Covenant, the New Testament, which is greater glory. But being that close to God and experiencing His glory, there came a point where Moses just cried out and said, God, show me your glory. I want to see all of it. Show me. And of course, you begin to learn things about God, that'll be the very next thing that happens. You want more. Huh? And with Him, there always is more. And in Exodus 33:18, Moses cried out about this. He said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And verse 19, this is the Lord's answer to him. He said, I will make all my goodness. Hold on. I thought he asked about glory. Huh? I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim the name of the Lord before you and be gracious to you whom I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he did that. If you skip down to chapter 34, verse 6, when he did it, the Lord passed by before him and he proclaimed. And this is God talking about himself, who he is and what he is, and makes these eternal declarations of statement about him, himself. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, somebody say, thank God, and abundant in what?
Goodness.
Goodness and truth. What is such a great understanding of this? He said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. Why? Because his goodness is his glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say, his goodness,
is
his glory. And it is absolute blasphemy to accuse God of evil and to say that evil comes out of God when his very glory is his goodness. Hallelujah. How good he is. Say it out loud. God is good. There's no evil in him. His goodness
is his glory.
And he is so good to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. We're going to learn even more about the goodness of God. We'll see you soon. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.